60 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
News,
Media
I'm Mark
app.
Remillard. Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip launching dozens of rockets toward Israel early Saturday, setting off air raid sirens across the country. No immediate response from Israel. The New York civil fraud trial against former President Trump will continue next week after Trump lost an effort to have an appeals court stop the trial while he fights a ruling that could strip him of some of his marquee properties. An appeals court denied his request to halt the trial but did allow him to retain control of his holdings for now. 3 days and no deal as a massive healthcare strike and multiple Kaiser Permanente medical centers continue. Workers demanding an increase in wages and staff. Josephine Rios is among those striking.
I'm out here because we were offered a 3%, 2% raise for the next 4 months, and cost of living went up. And we can't afford that.
Currently, no bargaining sessions have been scheduled. This is ABC News. The body of a woman found near a New England college campus, prompting a homicide investigation and the university to remain closed for now.
The urgent search now underway for a suspect police say is armed and dangerous after a woman's body was discovered on a rail trail in Castleton, Vermont, yesterday afternoon. The Vermont State University campus, which is nearby, closed today. People remaining there urged to shelter in place.
It's a small town, so it's a bit alarming and you never really expect it out here.
Police are not disclosing the cause of death, but say gunshots were reported in the area where the victim was found.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos. Guns N' Roses giving way to the Arizona Diamondbacks so the team can host Game 3 of the NL Division Series next week. The rock band said Friday it's moving its October 11th show at Chase Field in Phoenix to nearby Talking Stick Resort Amphitheater to avoid a conflict with the D-backs. Arizona set to host the LA Dodgers that night. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
We had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How'd they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you. But it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve up in here, Dom. Welcome to it.
Hey, happy Friday Eve, Crudy. Good to be with you. Nate working the board. Our fair audience is one day away, baby.
Getting close. Everybody working for the weekend. I got to tell you, though, not feeling great today. Thought about calling in sick, and you know. I never call in sick, right? Never call in sick. Yesterday, we promised you. Greatest radio show ever. Today, I'm just warning you. Might be just a smidge below that standard.
We're officially lowering the bar.
I don't know if it's the sinking feeling of the Brewers getting blown out 2 games in the wild card. Done.
Yeah.
It was over by last night, man.
Hey, look, I just have one thing to say. Bucks in six. Moving on, baby. Moving on.
Bucks in six media markets across the state of Wisconsin, thanks to Civic Media. You know, the Bucks have a preseason game this weekend.
Oh, really? Coming quick. Damn.
And Civic Media has made a big commitment to Milwaukee Bucks and the BMO Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. We are teammates in a big way. Six Bucks in six Civic Media markets, Tom. They will include WISS. I'm going to do this all by memory. WISS, WFHR, WLAK, the big Q up in the Northwoods. They're going to have the basketball with us. WRCE, Dom, that's news. And now Bucks from the center. And our flagship, WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM in Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. Bucks tipping off this weekend. I'm very excited.
Me too.
I saw you taking notes there. I think I got them first time through. You're welcome, everyone. Your Milwaukee Bucks, you'll hear them here on the Civic Media Network. Now, you got to listen to them over the air. They will not stream. NBA, blame them, not us. But we will provide the Bucks. But I got to tell you, last night, Dom, I woke up in the middle of the night. And I wasn't feeling good. And you and I have been hanging out a lot last couple nights.
Don't blame me, man.
Watching Brewers games and enjoying the company. And last night, you were kind enough to buy my dinner. And let's just say somewhere late in the evening, I returned it to sender.
Ooh, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
I was just not feeling good. But now I feel like, you know, $62.
All right, well done.
Feeling nearly okay. Dom, here's what I would say. I got a little moral today. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Be it in sports or politics, you know, sometimes what's the saying? You got to lose one to win one. Life. Or in being a crazy man approaching the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, when you're first arrested and taken down to jail and you bail yourself out and you show up with another gun on the very same day, Tom, that's persistence.
Indeed. Indeed it is.
Man would not be denied. Man with the handgun seeking Governor Tony Evers. I try to put a light spin on this. Nothing too funny about a guy showing up at your place with the gun.
Twice in the same day.
A 43-year-old Madison man who goes by Taco demanded to see Governor Tony Evers at the Wisconsin State Capitol yesterday afternoon and returned later with an assault rifle after posting bail. Evers told reporters Thursday he was unharmed and had confidence in the state capitol police. They would continue to keep him safe. I'm okay. To their credit, the capitol police took control of the situation, so it's over. But yeah, it's always something. That is, things you don't want to see happen. But that's why we have good people in the police departments, in the capitol police and the state patrol. Evers told reporters they're doing great work. Well, he was not in the Capitol, my understanding, Dom. On Wednesday afternoon, Joshua Plesnick arrived at the state capitol shirtless with a leash dog. At least he's following the dog leashing laws, Dom, and wearing a holstered handgun. According to information on the incident provided to lawmakers and obtained by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, while being interviewed, Plesnick said he would continue coming to the Capitol until he spoke to the governor about domestic abuse towards men. Plesnick stated he did not own a vehicle, and it is likely he has access to a large amount of weapons and is comfortable using them. What a pleasant thought. Use extreme caution when in contact with Plesnick. He should be considered armed, Capitol Police officers told lawmakers in an alert. And Plesnick was arrested after approaching the security desk outside of Evers' office inside the state capitol. The Department of Administration spokeswoman Tatiana Warwick told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he said he would not leave until he saw Evers. Police arrested the man for openly carrying a firearm inside the Capitol building, which is a violation of state law. You know what would have been permitted, Dom? Concealed carrying that very same weapon if he'd worn a shirt and let it flow over the holster. Concealed it, Dom. And, of course, had the prerequisite permit, which is pretty damn easy to get in this state. You can get the AR, the AK, you could probably get the concealed carry permit, don't you think?
Probably. Maybe you have to carry, you know, have a trench coat and hide it. But, yes, with a concealed carry permit, you can carry within the Capitol. Plesnick returned to the state capitol about 9 p.m. with an assault-style rifle after posting bail at the Dane County Jail. He demanded to see the governor again and was again taken into custody. Lawmakers were not notified of either incident until Thursday morning. The Evers administration initially refused to supply information to the Journal Sentinel early on Thursday. I was not notified, but it sounds like the Capitol Police did a fine job, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said on Thursday. Last year, Evers appeared on a target list of a man accused of fatally shooting a retired county judge. The so-called hit list was found in the suspect's vehicle, with names that included Evers, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican from Kentucky. Jesse Apoy and Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
A persistent man. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Go back and get another weapon.
I mean, thankfully, the weapons were not used, right? Seemingly. Maybe some, you know, things going on in the head. You know, I'm not one to analyze.
Well, there is,
you know,
perhaps a medical hold, but how was he booked, released, and returned to the scene of the very same crime, armed again in the very same day?
Without a car, but he's got a very expensive rifle? I mean, wow. Wow. Now, my understanding, Crudy, there is some Twitter sphere out there from the righties that this was a liberal, a Bernie supporter. And I don't know if that's the case, but that's what people are saying. If that is the case, a couple of things. Number one, Bernie Sanders would not endorse this. We do not endorse this. Number two, liberals have guns too, I guess.
Some right? do.
Some do. I do. And thankfully, I guess ultimately he didn't use the weapons. But if he, if there's some sort of mental hold going on right now, I'm not clear what happened to him, but how did he get the weapons in the first place? You know what I mean? Aren't we supposed to have procedures in place? So perhaps those that have some issues are unable or make it more difficult for them to get weapons. Really wonder what the Republicans think about all that.
I'm not clear. 844-967-2789. Here is another local story. Just want to throw it out there. Cap Times reporting. Joe Parisi, the Dane County executive, is retiring after 13 years, Dom.
Ah, don't go, Joe.
We're going to invite Joe Parisi. I'm going to call you personally and invite you to the Jade Monkey. He's been there before. Dom, we're going to party. Coming up on the 17th, that's a Tuesday night, at one of Hawk's finest neighborhood bars, the Jade Monkey over on Cottage Grove Road here in Madison in Dane County. And Joe Parisi's joined us over there before. And Dom, Joe is being strategic in his way out the door. Parisi is planning to retire in May of 2024, according to his office, which is before his term ends in May of 2025. His departure in May prevents his replacement from being elected in an April spring election. Instead, a special election will be held in November of 2024. That's a presidential year, Dom. And County Board Chair Patrick Miles will temporarily become acting county executive. Kind of like they're doing in the House right now. Miles will appoint an interim county executive ahead of the November election. Parisi said he thinks it will be great timing for a special election to coincide with the presidential. I think so too. This county, I live here in Dane County. Joe's been my fine executive for 13 years, about as long as we've been on the radio.
Yeah, right.
And here's what I can say. As long as he has been my county executive, as long as we, Dom, you and I have been on the radio doing the devil's advocate, some call us the greatest radio show ever. You know, Wednesdays, not always Thursdays, but you know, you might get a good show. Stick around. You never can tell. But I would say this. Dane County has reliably voted blue, overwhelmingly voted blue. Thank you, Joe Parisi. And the devil's advocates.
And the devil's advocates.
A little twofer there.
Great timing. I mean, what do we need? I mean, what here's was the turnout for Dane County in the Protasiewicz race, Grody?
Here's what Parisi says. We will have record turnout. Yes. Probably 300,000 or so people voting. And so we'll be able to have participation by basically everyone in the community. My whole county, we'll all be voting that day, Dom. Parisi being strategic on his way out. Gonna miss
Hate
Joe.
Hate to see you go, Joe, but hope you come around. The Devil's Advocates at the Atomic, the Funky Monkey, the Jade Monkey, just less than a couple of weeks away. We'll get Joe in.
We got to write it down for you. Like, my memory, pretty good. Not perfect, but yours.
That's why we hang out, man. You are my memory. Thank you.
I am the institutional knowledge that is the Devil's Advocates radio show. You know, we have partied with Joe Parisi more than once. At least once at the Jade Monkey. He'll come on down. Joe, I feel confident. If you don't have a conflict, you will be a guest of honor. And I love this strategery. I love when the Dems do it smart. Do it smart, Joe. And he's doing it precisely as Crudy would cast it upon the electorate on a November election day in Dane County, in my hometown, where some 300,000 people may turn out for the polls. Vote early and often. That's what I always say. Come back, more Devils.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents.
cents. The pins still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The ants are coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 36 overnight under mainly clear skies with a slight chance for scattered showers. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 50, mainly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 38 tomorrow night. Highs level off around 53 Sunday under cloudy skies. 50 Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 44.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
What really grinds my gears?
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Oh, we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday to us all. Aaron, some grievances, man. It's getting heavy up in here. Grinding the gears. Love the Van Halen, man. You ever hear Van Halen in Wisconsin radio? Yes, we certainly have. You can join us anytime at 844-967-2789. Curdy, all the times we're on the road, how many times we hear some Van Halen?
Every time.
Sometimes it's 5150.
Every time. Every time we've gone on the road, Van Halen has gone with us. I don't know if it's our musical choices. We'd be listening to an adult contemporary, and they'll break the playlist to play Van Halen for us that day. Everywhere we go. But that's good. Right, a little bit hot tonight. Barely see the road for the heat coming off. 844-967-2789. Tom from Madison. Tom, what really cranks your gears?
Hey, Tom.
I'm just enjoying crusty old Crudy there. He's talking about the...
Crusty
Crudy. Your access probe, you're going to go into the Jake Monkey or some bar up north, and you'll be Crudy sitting there in a couple of years, you know, talking about, I don't have my wife's access code, and I don't know if your kids do it all the time. Just enjoying it, guys. Thanks for a great show.
Technology, it's hard.
Tom, that was a great impression of Crudy's soon-to-be future.
You want to hear another problem, Tom? Honestly, here's another problem I got. I now have two Hulu accounts because my son somehow got me blocked out of my own Hulu account. So apparently I pay for his Hulu account and then another Hulu account so Dad can watch.
These crazy kids, I don't know what's going on.
That hurts a little because it's true, Tom.
It's true. Yep. A little too close to home, Tom.
Brother, have a great weekend.
I'm older than both of you guys. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, man.
Not apparently in spirit.
Come down to the Jade Monkey, man. That funky monkey. What is that? Tuesday the 17th. We're going to be partying down there. Hope to see you down there, Tom.
The Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023. And it's the only stop we're making this fall in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a one-time only. You want to party with the Devils? You want to come out with crusty, cranky, crudy, and complain about technology all Friday after? Well, it'll be a Tuesday afternoon, October 17th.
You want to dance with the Devils in the pale moonlight?
You know what else Jeff sent me? Jeff, our mutual friend, Jeff. You know, he was my neighbor when I was growing up. But anyways, Jeff sent me since you're not watching the football, watch the effing DVD. Jeff was the one that had the Amazon DVD shipped to me, Idiocracy.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It's still in the wrapper. Little... It's still in my other briefcase at home.
Watch it, man. Watch it. Anyway, I'd cancel the Hulu accounts, by the way. Get one like family account. You can get multiple people on it and you'll be just fine. Oh, but yeah, what I mean, it's a little close to home, Idiocracy, based on what we've seen here in the last several years in Wisconsin and this country. But it's an entertaining movie.
Well, Dom, you know, I've been trying to avoid the political leads here. So if you got really? Something less political, 844-967-2789. But let's throw in a little of the politics. Our friend Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times, little opinion piece, Dom. A lot of opinions going around today. Fitzgerald and Tiffany joined the Burn the House Down Club. You know, I played their theme song a little bit earlier. No surprise that both Republicans who were willing to overturn the 2020 election results on January 6, 2021, bowing to their lying pal Donald Trump, joined the Matt Gaetz crowd last week in an effort to shut down the government. The 5th Congressional District, Scotty Fitzgerald, and the 7th Toxic Tom Tiffany weren't willing to compromise with the majority of their colleagues to pass House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's 11th hour continuing resolution to keep the government running. Now, Dom, it might surprise you to know, even two of the state's arch-conservative lawmakers, Rep. Glenn Grothman of the 6th and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, joined fellow Republicans Brian Stale of the 1st, Rep. Derek Van Orden of Insurrectionist fame, and Rep. Michael Gallagher of the 8th in caring enough to keep the lights on and our troops paid. But ever since voters in Wisconsin sent Tiffany to Congress 3 years ago and elected Fitzy in 2020, the two former state senators have steadfastly supported the Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and detestable Lauren Boebert wing of the party to throw sand in the gears of government. Fitzgerald came up with the self-serving explanation that he voted against the compromise, Dom, because it didn't contain more funding for the border, while Tiffany tweeted that he's against the status quo funding that is ruining the nation. Pretty lame excuses for two politicians who've been working hand in glove to ruin the nation by exacting funds from education, poverty programs, Social Security, and Medicare. Never really cared for those two, especially Fitzy. Actually, I kind of like Tom Tiffany just meeting the guy. He's okay. Not so with Scott Fitzgerald. Never cared for him. Remember we got stuck on the middle seat on the Southwest Airlines flight? Republican contingent. He was the leading state senator in the state of Wisconsin. He was the Senate majority leader. Got on a plane with nothing but freaking Republicans and got stuck in the center seat on a Southwest flight because nobody likes you, Fitzy.
Crudy, these two politicians showed their true colors when they joined 145 of their Republican colleagues to stop the counting of the Electoral College votes by Vice President Mike Pence. If there is justice in this world, their disloyalty to the country's constitution and democracy should never be forgotten. And although their gerrymandered congressional districts will probably keep them in office for years to come, they really have no business being there. Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times. Little crunchy, crotchety old man himself there, Crudy. I think there's a lot of that going around these days.
Well, at least I'm not the only crusty boomer today. If you're feeling a little bit crusty, cranky, call the phones. 844-967-2789. Want to hear your grievances? It's Friday. We air them here. Coming back with more political headlines if we must. Otherwise, you know, I just got a pile of gripes. I've been saving them all week for you people. Either you lay out some politics or I'm going to lay out my demands. And that might include cookies because I am also a little bit hangry right now.
Oh, here we go. Now we know.
Come back, more Devils. Your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip launching dozens of rockets toward Israel early Saturday, setting off air raid sirens across the country. No immediate response from Israel. The New York civil fraud trial against former President Trump will continue next week after Trump lost an effort to have an appeals court stop the trial while he fights a ruling that could strip him of some of his marquee properties. An appeals court denied his request to halt the trial but did allow him to retain control of his holdings for now. 3 days and no deal as a massive healthcare strike at multiple Kaiser Permanente medical centers continue. Workers demanding an increase in wages and staff. Josephine Rios is among those striking.
I'm out here because we were offered a 3%, 2% raise for the next 4 months, and cost of living went up. And we can't afford that.
Currently, no bargaining sessions have been scheduled. This is ABC News.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle, new gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike, and the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
When they go low, we get high.
Mama,
the Devil's Advocates.
Just killed a man. Put a gun again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The Friday airing of the grievances has commenced. You want to know what really cranks my gears?
What's that?
You like? Brought to my attention the ethical violations of multiple congresspeople. And this column includes a picture of Wisconsin's own Glenn Grothman. But the problem is, I find myself in some twisted way defending the most boring investment vehicle of all time, the U.S. savings bonds that Glenn Grothman bought with mom's birthday money through the years, and his failure to disclose that purchase in a timely fashion. I don't think it's any big deal, but you were just hammering me before we went on the air, Tom, so tell the people, why is it a problem?
The Raw story, Alexandria Jacobson reporting. Since January 1, 26 members of Congress have violated a federal insider trading and conflicts of interest law. A Raw story analysis of congressional financial disclosures reveals most of the violations involve failures to properly disclose stock trades as required by the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Stock Act of 2012. You know, federal law, Crudy. I don't write the laws. I mean, literally, Grothman writes the laws, right?
He just doesn't follow the letter of the law. Just a minor oversight.
You know, what are you going to do? The most significant violator clocked in as much as 6.5 years late when reporting up to $8.5 million in stock transactions. Georgia Republican Representative Rick Allen, another lawmaker, was just a couple days late, but still logged up to 165,000 late stock disclosures. That's John Curtis, a Republican from Utah. Between them are numerous other Republicans and Democrats alike who have consistently failed to abide by the Stock Act. The Obama-era law intends to stop insider trading, curb conflicts of interest, and enhance transparency by requiring key government officials, including members of Congress, to publicly report within 45 days most purchases, sales, and exchanges of stocks, bonds, commodities, futures, securities, and cryptocurrencies. The excuses for this year's violators are numerous. There's a couple here, Crudy. I mistakenly left it in draft. It's in draft. I didn't click the send button, Crudy. Here, Tom Carpenter, he's a Democrat. He said, oh, it's a clerical error.
Aren't they always?
Another Democrat, an administrative error. Kathy Manning from North Carolina. Senator Tom Tillis, also from North Carolina. It's a website processing issue. The dog ate my homework. What? My computer froze up. The internet was choppy that day. I mean, it's literally the website processing issues.
I'm sorry, I don't have the Amazon login codes. My wife has those.
Advisors are to blame. Zoe Lofgren, a Democrat, Rep. Tom Keene, a Republican, blame the financial advisors. In a recent interview with Raw Story, one of the Stock Act's original authors, former Rep. Brian Baird, a Democrat from Washington State, blasted Congress for its continued excuses for failing to abide by the law. I mean, come on, the dog ate my homework. Hey, I said that. Aren't we a little more grown up than that? Baird said. If we're capable of voting on whether or not to raise or lower taxes or send people to war, I think we can report when we make an investment. The standard fine for violating the Stock Act is $200, but frequently...
Isn't that about the same that they charge you for an administrative code violation at the Capitol? Although I think they throw another 50 cents on at the Capitol.
Yeah, $200 and 50 cents.
Correct.
Well, that was a while ago, Curtis. You know, it's probably higher now.
Last time we were cited, also $200.50.
House, was it? I don't recall. Okay.
Both
House
times.
Committee on Ethics and the State Senate Select Committee on Ethics, they waived the fee. Craig Holman, a Capitol Hill lobbyist on ethics and campaign finance rules for nonprofit public citizens, said the fee is one of the two reasons why the Stock Act is frequently violated. The penalty is so minimal that these millionaire members of Congress really don't care about it. The second provision is ethics committees are not really enforcing it or taking it seriously.
But let's talk about the violations of Congressman Glenn Grothman of the great state of Wisconsin. I don't see it as big a deal as perhaps some of these other violators, Tom. Did he follow the letter of the law? No. I won't say that he did.
Did he follow the spirit of the law? Did he follow the intent of the law? Any of those things?
If this is an insider trader thing, consider what it is that Glenn has been purchasing with his money. Let me read. Rep. Glenn Grothman, Republican from Wisconsin. Grothman was more than a year late in reporting two purchases of U.S. Treasury Series 1 savings bonds, totaling up to $30,000. Now, you know he didn't buy them for his kids, in that Glenn's a confirmed bachelor, living in mom's basement, my understanding. His office did not respond to multiple requests for comments, but I got to tell you, Dom,
yeah.
Isn't it so Glenn Grothman to buy savings bonds? I mean, this is not you cannot time the market on savings bonds, can you, Dom?
Very secure investment.
It's a pretty vanilla thing. And while I think that, you know, Glenn should probably follow the letter of the law if he wants to serve as a lawmaker, let's say, I don't see the problem that you see, at least not all the outrage you leveled at me, and I can't believe that I'm going to defend Glenn Grothman about anything.
Listen, it's very simple. Lawmakers, Republicans, and Democrats. You just got to follow the law, man.
Yeah, but some of these were like $5, $6 million insider trades.
Come on, man. Sales and exchange of bonds, stocks, commodities, futures, securities, cryptocurrencies. That's a bond. He bought a bond. It falls within the category. Report it, man. I mean, what's the problem? I mean, even if you totally agree that there's zero to zilch chance of some sort of corruption or insider trading going on, time in the market or whatever you might have heard inside, maybe you got, you know, wind that the Feds are going to do something about, what, the interest rates? I mean, there's very little opportunity for corruption in that regard.
Very minuscule opportunity for corruption. I'll agree with you in that assessment.
All right. Still a law. Still a law that Republicans and Democrats passed and signed. Still laws that you don't.
Glenn wasn't up there then.
Well, he's there now. So either what he thinks is not a big deal to follow the law, or he's just so incompetent that he doesn't know how to read and follow the law.
Hey, I mean, you back
the,
off.
What is the motivation for guys like Glenn Grothman? If you're not involved in any sort of conspiracy, these other guys, what, $6.5 million? I'm sorry, it was 6.5 years late, $8.5 million. That's a Republican from Georgia, Congressman Rick Allen.
Damn. Well, that might be an effort to, you know, hide a insider stock sweetheart deal from your voting constituency, Dom. Hell, he's gone through three elective campaigns since he failed to, what, disclose the transaction. But Glenn's buying treasury bombs. He could have bought those at the post office. Reason,
if there's nothing to hide, and there presumably isn't, because they're savings bonds, right? And if there's nothing to hide, click the button, man. Report it. I mean, now, if Rick Allen, the congressman, was up to some shenanigans, I don't know, but 6.5 years and $8.5 million, you know, I mean, maybe he deserves a couple $200 fines. But if that's the case, Glenn, it's an easy choice. Just do it, man.
Let me ask you, Dom, because I'm going to answer this question with a question.
Yeah.
Have you filed your taxes for 2022 yet?
Oh, yeah, man.
Well, that makes one of us.
Fine, but, you know, you have the opportunity to, you know, not file the taxes, file extensions, and you can, you know, have to pay the interest, and perhaps you don't get your ducks in a row, a penalty, right? But, you know, okay, but you're not in Congress, man. I mean, these things are passed specifically to address, you know, insider trading and corruption, right? I mean, that's the intent. And maybe if you want to say, hey, savings bonds really doesn't vote, you know, okay, but that's how it is. That's where it's at. That's it. This is a bipartisan issue. These people are not following the letter of the law. And how am I supposed to respect the law when you people don't respect the law?
How am
and
I
the one making the law?
How am I supposed to respect the rant if we're talking about a dude buying 30 grand in savings bonds, which he probably did with his mom's money and brought him back to Ma? The meatloaf, Mom. We're hungry.
Wait, is Mom giving him money now? I mean, is he reporting that as what? As a contribution to the campaign? I mean, I want to be clear here. Is this a gift?
Well, one must presume it's personal dollars. And Dom, I don't know if you're aware, but you can actually gift within the family or really to a stranger if you want to, up to $16,000 per year. And in fact, a married couple could gift $32,000 per year tax-free to both the giver and the receiver, Dom. Don't tell me I don't know my tax codes.
Yeah, okay, so maybe you should file them then. But, I mean,
eventually.
Listen, you know, here's the deal.
When the letter of the law says I must.
You pass the extension when you, yeah, exactly. When the letter of the law, you do it, right?
Probably.
Because why? Because you're going to get penalties and interest, and it's never going to leave you.
Otherwise, it's the accountant's
fault. People making the laws to try to, what, limit the opportunity for corruption and grift and whatever, don't follow those laws themselves? And then we have no fines and no one. Well, why even have the law then? You know what I mean? Come on. This is the whole point. Are we a nation of laws? Or are we just going to let Glenn slide by because it's 30 grand in savings bond? And then why are we letting Rick Allen slide by for 6.5 years and $8.5 million?
We are a nation of bookkeepers and accountants, and I am dependent upon them because, you know, I'm not good with the technology. I already pointed out I'd never be able to master QuickBooks. You know, I've tried. I've tried that. It's never going to work. So, you know, if I don't file in a proper fashion, I blame the accountant. Accountant screwed me.
That's exactly some of the excuses that these
are they excuses? Senators... They feel more valid all the time as we approach October 15th.
844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton. Welcome. Happy Friday, Cindy. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Cindy.
Happy Friday. Well, you know, they have laws so that they can apply to the poor people.
That's right.
To the poor people. You know, so we end up in prison for little piddly little things we do, but people that are rich can do whatever they want, like murder somebody on Wall Street and get away with it. So, you know, it's just a way to keep the poor under the thumb.
Well, I don't know if you'd get away with it on Wall Street, but Trump claims he would on Fifth Avenue.
Well, whatever, wherever it was, he said that. Anyway.
Cindy, I've got some news that's going to cheer your... It's going to turn your frown upside down. You know who just got jammed up by the IRS? So. Occasionally
besides
drunken.
Me?
Who's that?
But besides me?
You and I both, sisters. They always expect their payments before I filed my taxes for some reason. But Cindy, the former attorney to Donald Trump, America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, got slapped with a $600,000 tax lien by the IRS today on his condo.
Wow.
Not only is he stiffing his lawyers, he's stiffing the IRS, Cindy. But it gets a little painful when they start leaning you. Not that I'd know.
Why is Trump going to bail him out, though?
What's that?
Where's his buddy Trump to bail him out? I said, where's his buddy Trump to bail him out? I thought, you know, Trump was going to help him out when he got into trouble.
I think he's been begging Trump for legal fees for a couple of years now. And my understanding is Trump did like $100,000 a plate fundraiser for Rudy at Mar-a-Lago or something. But I'm pretty much thinking that's where Trump cuts him loose. He's not going to get him out from under his lien on the condo. I mean, pretty much Rudy is going to live in a halfway house the rest of his life. That's my prediction, Cindy.
Why not a full way house? Why a halfway house?
Because he can't afford the other half. Cindy, appreciate your call. 844-967-2789. Do you see that breaking? Rudy got leaned.
Well,
and I don't wish the IRS on anyone, but, you know, you think he'd know better.
Well, and I'm sorry, that was Mike Lindell who lost his attorneys, walked away from
him. I'm losing everything. Yes.
Yeah, but that's what happens. These folks, they jump on the Trump train, and ultimately it leads to financial, personal, professional, political disaster for everybody else. The guy leaves a wake of chaos behind him. But at some point you think you got to be a little bit careful. If you're a guy like Trump and you think you're a little bit exposed, perhaps guys like Rudy, and if he, you know, maybe wasn't sober enough to remember anything. But, you know, certainly if guys like Rudy and Mike Lindell were in the room.
Just tell him you won.
And the pressure and the heat is turning up and they don't have any money. You know, those are the guys that are going to be flipping at the last minute. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Call us with your grievances. Happy Friday to us all. 844-967-2789. Stick around. We will be right back.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded.
These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies overnight with a slight chance for scattered showers. Lows around 36. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 50. Overcast tomorrow night, 38. Temperatures below average Sunday and Monday with highs from the upper 40s to the lower 50s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 44.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Big and tall on political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all, airing of the grievances, trying to talk anything not politics. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
Dom, you like the Monty Pythons, right?
Every sport sacred, pretty.
Have you ever seen the dead parrot routine? Guy goes into the pet shop, buys a parrot. Very expensive parrot. Very dead parrot. My son actually did that for like middle school forensics. He was so cute. I thought it was so cool. It was funny, you know, very funny. Monty Python's funny stuff. Well, less funny for Wisconsin's own Kenneth Cheesebro. His motion to dismiss likened to Monty Python's dead parrot in judicial smackdown. That's what the judge is saying to him, Dom. Let me see if I can get this properly. Deserve some reverence, Dom. You know, whenever you're referencing Monty Python's dead parrot in your judicial outcomes. A judge on Friday made quick work of former Trump lawyer Ken Cheesebro's motion to dismiss his case based on a clerical error. In the original motion, Cheesebro argued that his case should be dismissed on the grounds that the Fulton County Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade did not properly file his oath of office for the case in a timely fashion, kind of like Glenn Grothman, which makes all the work that Wade has done on his case to that point void as a matter of law.
Reaching.
But in a ruling flagged on Twitter by Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter Tamar Hollerman, Fulton County Judge Scott McAfee put an official end to Cheesebro's long-shot bid to have all the charges against him dismissed. At the end of the ruling, McAfee made reference to the famous Monty Python sketch in which a pet store owner tries to convince a customer that the dead parrot he sold him is actually alive. If this parrot of emotion is somehow not yet dead, the defendant has failed to establish how the special ADA Wade's actions resulted in prejudice, i.e. how his assignment single-handedly changed any specific actions taken during the investigation or resulted in a true bill of indictment. The judge argued, nor has the defendant established a constitutional violation or structural defect in the grand jury process sufficient to justify outright dismissal. The motion is denied. That is a dead parrot, Dom.
Well, that's what I call a dead parrot.
Now, Cheesebro was indicted earlier this year by Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis for his efforts to keep the former president Donald Trump unlawfully in power after he lost the 2020 presidential. And his motion, Dom, absolutely a dead parrot.
Dead on arrival. I mean, you can't really blame the guy for trying to do anything he can to get out of this thing.
The guy didn't file his clerk's license on the proper day. Therefore, all charges against me must be invalidated.
All good. Wow. Desperation, I think. A little bit of desperation.
844-967-2789. You don't have to be desperate. Just call the Devil's Advocates. Dom will explain your tech to you, and I'll stand with you in grumpiness, airing of the grievances. You know, we'll be
solidarity and being cranky today.
Crusty old men together.
Grumpy old men. Feeling older all the time. You know, the other night, my wife had some minor ailment. We were comparing like minor ailments. And she's like, is this what it's like getting old?
Yeah.
And apparently it is, Dom.
It's always better than the alternative, Michael.
That is true. So far.
As far as we know.
Dynamo Dave from Duluth. Welcome back, Dave. Happy Friday. What do you got for us?
Hey, David.
Hey, Governor Dom and Charismatic Crudy. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah. We seem to have dodged a bullet last weekend with the government shutdown business. But I was wondering, did you guys know that, first of all, that those congressional leaders still get paid whether there's a government shutdown or not?
I heard that. That's troubling to me.
Yeah.
Seems like less incentive to keep the payroll going when you get paid whether or not the employees do or not.
Exactly. It's like, wait a minute. What's going on? I thought it was we the people, not those guys.
Oh, Dave, what a quaint thought.
Hey, but I don't know. Did you guys catch in the news 2 weeks ago? Representative Angie Craig of Minnesota here, she introduced a bill. I got to pull over and read it to you. It's called, quote, "My constituents cannot afford rebellious tantrums. Handle your shutdown act to halt congressional pay during a government shutdown." And what I want to know, and of course it didn't pass, but what I want to know is, like, when the Democrats have Congress, why don't they pass that bill themselves? You know what I mean? They've had it, you know, at the very early part of Biden's presidency. Wasn't that the case or something? Or I can't remember when the last time they had it. But why don't they pass that bill or a bill similar to that when they're in power?
Excellent question, Dave. They didn't get much done. They kept promising stuff's going to happen. Couple weeks. Just give them a couple weeks. Didn't come to fruition so much, did it, Dave? I'll take that as a no.
That's a no. Thanks for the call, Dave. It's a good question, and they absolutely should. I mean, and, you know, obviously the thing about this, Democrats are not generally the ones that want to shut down the government. You know, that's kind of a Republican thing. So they should absolutely do that. I mean, why not? If you're going to not pay all the federal workers, then you should also, as a federal worker, not get paid. It seems, I don't know, equitable and just to me. And maybe it'll put a little pressure on some of those folks to get things done. I mean, if you're not going to work, you shouldn't get paid. You know what I mean?
I've been saying that to you for years. Yeah. Dom, we've got some...
The brand is almost priceless.
Dom, we being the Civic Media Network and specifically the Madison station, WMDX, got a little fan mail here from apparently a fan of conservative righty whitey talk radio. Her name's Linda. Sent a little email. This is all BS. Although she spelled it out for us. Children should not have sex changes. The Civic Media station is built on all left-wing nonsense. No wonder America's effed up. She spells it out. Bring back the Republicans and President Trump! ! Yes, President Trump, and get the old man Biden out. That's what she said. And then she says, yes, I want to join the movement and receive emails and updates.
All right.
So I suspect Linda struggles with the tech, like yours truly struggles with the tech. So Linda, although politically, ideologically, we're complete opposites, I would say you and I, we have that in common. That's one thing we've got. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Finding common ground. Making the very cogent arguments of a Monty Python sketch and legal pleadings. You know, that, my friends, is a dead parrot. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Got another hour. We're not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media.